That half hour went so fast. I have so much material to bring in. But candidates that debate certain issues that are just throwing words around are not as important as the bullets that fly that erase a particular candidate. In, as I said, 1960, Richard Nixon debated John Kennedy, and it wasn't long after Kennedy won the election that he was murdered. In 1968, Robert Kennedy was running for election. He went through the primaries in all the states, and Richard Nixon wanted to be president in 1968. In the eve of the primary, Robert Kennedy was murdered. Well, Sirhan Sirhan had a hearing before the parole board, and he'll be out in 4 years. He already has a ticket. Mr. Gaddafi has ordered him a ticket to the Middle East. He has asylum in Libya, or he can go back to Jordan, where he's a native of Jordan. He's been getting an A average. He takes 25 college credits, I guess, each semester, or has accumulated that many. He has an associate degree from Hartnell Community College. It was Edward Simpson, the psychologist on the peninsula here, chief psychologist at San Quentin, who received Sirhan when he first was sent up there, who said, wait a minute, he doesn't have a low IQ. He's under a trance. He's been hypnotized. And Dr. Klaus was the first one to recognize that he was not low mentally in any sense, and Sirhan is living up to that diagnosis. In fact, he is doing very well. He's in charge of certain offices. He does typing at the prison, and he wants to be somewhat removed or solitary until he gets out, which is smart. And he's keeping physically fit and getting his good grades, and he studies current and national affairs, so that 4 years from now he has a ticket and he can leave the country and he has served his time. An interesting book by, I've referred to before, The Vesco, the Infernal Money-Making Machine, about Bobby Vesco, has an interesting connection of Vesco to Pasadena. The Sirhan family was brought to Pasadena by a church group, Friends of Richard Nixon's. And Vesco had interest in an electrical firm in Pasadena. And he also got money, loans for businesses. The Bank of America loaned Vesco $18 million for an operation in Pasadena, and Prudential Insurance loaned him $20 million to take over an electric company. And he combined this with underworld money in the Netherlands and in Switzerland. And Bobby Vesco control reach from New Jersey to California, and Pasadena, California is the area where the Bank of America had put up money for Richard Nixon, and they were also very much behind Ronald Reagan's campaign and the politics to the right. This book tells the connections of Robert Vesco from New Jersey to Wall Street to Pasadena, where the Sirhan family was, to Carlos Marcello, Santos Trafficana, organized crime. And if you take a map of the United States and draw the diagrams and put under it the sources of where the money went, you can outline pretty well the traffic of the assassination teams. As the years go on, it becomes more and more clear as we read these books that come out and put the places together with the Bank of America funding him for electric company in Pasadena and Sirhan's connections in Pasadena and with the CIA. And with Richard Nixon, the Vesco, Bahamas, organized crime connections, you can see easily how this group could put Richard Nixon in the White House in 1968. All they had to do was to get rid of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, and their candidate was in. There was an article jumping to Nation magazine, September 20th, 1980, the last issue. There was an article about Frank Turpel. When I came back on KLRB, I did mention that I thought that was one of the most important stories of the past year or two. And this article goes into the fact that while talking about the Billy Carter affair, the name of gunrunner Frank Turpel has been almost lost to the public. Nation says Turpel is a former CIA man, a gunrunner, indicted by the federal grand jury, who worked with his associate, Edward Wilson, a former CIA man. That's the Edwin Wilson that was involved with the anti-Castro Cubans and Letelier murder. And Turpel was selling illegal arms to Libya and so forth. And this article tells about the role of Turpel and Wilson with Gaddafi and training terrorist programs. And finally, a magazine is coming out, even though it's just 4 or 5 paragraphs, and making some connections of Frank Turpel and Wilson two assassination teams. It goes on how the grand jury found them guilty or suggested they were responsible for the assassination of a former member of the Libyan Revolutionary Council, that they had hired a hitman for $1 million. That was the price to do the job, and that nine other Libyan exiles have been assassinated. Then the article goes on to say, by his own admission, Mr. Turple trained Ilich Ramirez Sanchez, known as Carlos, the internationally wanted terrorist who is believed to have led the raid on the Israeli Olympic team in Munich in 1972. Now, Nation magazine this last week is telling about Frank Turple of the Central Intelligence Agency and Carlos and the murder of the Israeli students at the Olympic Games in 1972. I wrote in The Realist the article in 1974 called The SLA is the CIA. This was 6 years ago, and I was giving examples of CIA terrorism that look like they come from the left. And I mentioned in that article on page 38 an example of the Olympic Games massacre of Israeli athletes in Munich, Germany, and the use of Dr. Hacker, a psychologist, who was the expert on the Munich massacre and also was called in to advise Randolph Hearst on the SLA kidnapping. I wrote in 1974, the massacre in Munich was wide open for the investigation of a larger conspiracy involving the United States and German military police. Arab terrorists, in quote, kidnapped the Israelis after the German police watched them climb the fence. Dr. Hacker, who is supposed to be an expert on terrorism, wrote a book deploring violence and guerrilla movements, but he never mentioned that the secret funding behind the Arabs or elaborated that it was the Germans and Americans who murdered the Jewish athletes and not the Arabs. Dr. Hacker was a consultant and is to the Los Angeles Police Department. He worked with Donald DeFries as a psychiatrist when DeFries was working as a police informer. And when Patty Hearst was kidnapped, he moved on to Randolph Hearst's advisor. I went on in the same article and linked Saudi Arabian and Iranian oil money to Reg Murphy kidnapping in Atlanta, Georgia, to the Watergate plumbers, and said Saudi Arabian money was involved in Murphy's kidnapping and was linked to J.F. Stoner's States' Right Party. Money from Iran, from the Shah, went into the CIA funds in Mexico. Stoner States' Right Party employs the brother of James Earl Ray, the Patsy, and the Martin Luther King murder. There is a link between the conspiracies and the provocations in the United States funds from right-wing oil companies and the SLA kidnapping and related bombings in the United States in 1974. I also wrote in that article just a paragraph below, and this has to do with Ronald Reagan and the California violences that I briefly touched upon, and maybe next week I'll get back to. I said, if the true story behind the California epidemic of violences were told, we'd know about Juan Corona, Herbert Mullen, Edmund Kemper, Charles Manson, Charles Watson, and Sirhan Sirhan. What interesting stories they would have to tell to confirm their involvement in larger conspiracies. Now, just this last week, a new trial began for Juan Corona. I mentioned him in this article. Juan Corona had been prosecuted for murdering 25 migrant farm workers, and evidence had been planted against him. There was a reason to blame him for these 25 murders, and a ledger with names of the victims was supposed to have been written by Juan Corona. The Juan Corona story and the other California violences are all part of this counterintelligence system, and I did write 6 years ago about the Olympic Games and the Israeli athletes being murdered by United States violence from the right and not from the Arab PLO, are funded by the American oil companies and the CIA and given their arms. We get articles on the terrorism, the terrible Gaddafi or Idi Amin or the PLO. They are directly funded and armed by our Central Intelligence Agency, and the psychiatrist should be looking into the American minds that provide this kind of violence and pass it off on the Third World or the left. Just last week, I mentioned that Francis Turple and Mr. Wilson and George Carcola, who set up assassination teams, have fled the country. The New York Times had an article September the 11th, 1980, this last week that Ed Wilson, former CIA, has fled to North Africa or Europe. He's been there since April. Mr. Turple, who is under indictment, has gone over to Europe. He's in the Middle East, Libya, Iraq, or Syria. Now, you see, he can be funding the Iraq government with their assassination teams and arms to irritate Khomeini and make a war on the border of Iran. These men are useful. They are the top assassination teams of the United States linked to Mitchell Werbel, the silencers, the weapons, the anti-Castro Cubans, the Omega 66, the Alpha 66, the Omega 77. In fact, they killed and claimed their group that were trained by them from New Jersey claimed to have killed the UN agent, the man that was working at the UN last week, and they want the Cuban attaché. They murdered him on the highway there in New York City, and they claim to do more murders in the United States. They're bragging now and open about their murder, and the point is that as long as the CIA puts weapons and police departments and silencers and all the devices for murder overseas, eventually it's going to take place on our streets. It has already, and it's going to escalate, and it's something we have to watch. That attaché at the UN was only one who was ambushed. There will be others. The Omega 7 brags about it, and this is the gang that works with Corcola and Turple and killed the Jewish athletes. The Jewish community, the Anti-Defamation League, is silent. They read these things. I don't know where their head is at. They wouldn't ask one of these candidates what they would do about terrorism at home. They all seem to be asleep or zonked out. I don't know what they think about these days. Speaking of terrorism, there's a trial going on now of the FBI agents versus the weathermen illegally breaking into their homes and taping them and taking their documents and out of their families' homes and in their homes. And the filmmaker Emile D'Antonio accused the FBI last week of duplicating a copy of a soundtrack of a movie of the Weather Underground and using it as an excuse for the Weather Underground actually meeting. Antonio said that he made a documentary in 1975 about the Weather Under people and the Weather People, rather, and that the FBI took the soundtrack of the movie and used that as an excuse for some of their continuous harassment, as if it was actually their property to use, and they have broken into Antonio's home. He was on the list, enemy list of Richard Nixon. He made a wonderful movie about Richard Nixon a while back. In the remaining time, I want to go briefly into the murder of Somoza this last week. There was a cartoon by Conrad in the LA Times, Richard Nixon holding a headline saying Somoza assassinated, and he's yelling upstairs, "Pack my dark suit, Pat. I'm sure they'll want me at the funeral." Nixon didn't go to the funeral. He was busy on a yacht up at Edgartown at Chappaquiddick, the old Ted Kennedy territory where Mary Jo Kopechne was killed. But Congressman McDonald was there, and Representative John Murphy from New York, who's under indictment for the Abscam scandal. Murphy went to school with Somoza at West Point and at prep school. Somoza was killed at a very opportune time, and when Ronald Reagan runs for office or Nixon runs for office, there is a lot of violence. The alleged assassin, the so-called assassin, was murdered right on the spot. The other six have departed. The Paraguay police said on the 18th of this month that the six escaped. A man named Hugo Alfredo Iruzin was killed. They went into his home where he was supposed to have been reading a book by Karl Marx, calmly reading the book. It reminds me of Lee Harvey Oswald with Karl Marx on the coffee table. They killed him. His alias was Captain Santiago, and I believe that this Iruzin could have been the man who set up the assassination of Somoza at this time, who did in fact come from Argentina, bordering on colonial dignitat in Chile, part of the Operation Condor, to kill Somoza. Why was he killed at this time? In the first place, he was going to be kicked out of Paraguay. He was an embarrassment. He'd been messing around with a woman. He had one mistress for about 15 years. His wife is in the United States in Miami. But then he took on another woman, a mistress, who was the mistress to a newspaper publisher who was married to Stroessner's daughter. It may sound a little complicated. The head of Paraguay's daughter was married to is married to a newspaper publisher who also has a mistress that Somoza thought he could reach. Somoza's son was kicked out of Paraguay on 24 hours' notice and told never to come back, and Somoza had been living it up there in Paraguay and causing embarrassment to that very strong fascist regime, and Stroessner told him to cool it. The second reason I think he could have been knocked off at this time, he was closely linked to Representative John Murphy, as I say, under indictment for Murphy's indictment with the Abscam story, but he had brought in illegally people from Nicaragua that are still in this country and never were removed. But the anti-Castro Cubans have been using the death of Somoza for politics, and also Ronald Reagan. At the funeral service in Miami, 9,000 people attended, and they had signs out on the street, Reagan, see Carter, no, and there were other signs, death to Carter. And while the 8,000 people were out there demonstrating, pamphlets were handed out, distributed for Ronald Reagan's campaign. Somoza used his country for the landing base and training of the Bay of Pigs operation that never went off. John Kennedy called off. And the anti-Castro Cubans have been angry about that. They depend on Somoza as their stronghold against labor movements in the entire Central America area. And Somoza is an important person, these anti-Castro Cubans. By bringing him home to Miami at this time, it was a chance for placards and weeping and mourning, and the strong Reaganites were out there handing out pamphlets saying that Monday, that's tomorrow, Ronald Reagan will be down in Miami campaigning. So they were hanging Carter in effigy, they were at placards, Reagan C, and they had 8,000 plus all their families and so forth could say, Jimmy Carter let us down, he let Somoza out, he should have brought in the troops. I mentioned last week or the week before on the tapes that Carter was very brave in not sending American troops in to Iran, in not sending American troops to Nicaragua, letting the Shah be removed. This is what the people wanted. The Sandinistas were celebrating in the streets that Somoza was dead. Somoza had an interesting career. The dynasty started in 1936. He came to the United States to a military academy. He graduated from West Point in 1946. That was the year Richard Nixon was going into Congress, and the CIA would be formed in 47, a year later. He was active, of course, with the CIA and the National Guard down in Central America. He married a woman from Florida in 1950, and his father was assassinated down in Nicaragua in 1956. His brother took over, and this was the landing base and the training place for the Bay of Pigs. That's where George de Morenschild, Lee Harvey Oswald's close buddy and Nazi spy, pro-Nazi sympathizer, was down in Nicaragua at the time of the Bay of Pigs invasion. And Somoza was very active until he took over. His brother was president down there for a while. He was active with the police, the National Guard, the CIA, and our multinationals. In 1972, Somoza met a man named Vance Cooper, who was allegedly Howard Hughes in an airplane, and he said that Hughes was in Nicaragua in 1972. There's been no proof that Hughes was ever seen after 1968, and there is a lot of reason to believe that this was the Hughes double, a man who's made a movie on Howard Hughes that has never been produced, that I had a part in, and it's been squelched. He's from Nicaragua, and he knew Somoza worked with him and said, how did you know that was Howard Hughes? He wanted to check out that was on the airplane. He'd never seen him before. And he said, because he gave me an airplane. He got a 747, the only airline in Nicaragua, and that's how he knew it was Howard Hughes, because he got an airplane. The Sandinistas started to attack him in 1974. He went to Homestead Air Force Base in Florida in 1979, and then went down to Paraguay with a dictatorship down there, that where he was provided a lot of land and protection, but he lived it up, and he was a pain in the neck, if not the buttocks, to the government down there because of his conspicuous consumption, and there was a lot of talk that he was going to be moved out. He, like the Shah, had nowhere to go. He was an embarrassment, and he was messing around with a woman that he shouldn't have been messing around with. The two men that represented the United States at his funeral, as I say, one wasn't Richard Nixon. One was Larry McDonald from Georgia and Representative John Murphy of New York. Murphy's also on the board of foundation, the Pahlavi Foundation, worked closely with the Shah, the Central Intelligence Agency, with Somoza, and the dictatorships. And Larry McDonald has been mentioned in documents as being part of that narcotic gun-running organizing team that was responsible for the killing of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, again involving the Stoner operation and the assassination team, Mitchell Werbel and the gang in Georgia. The silencers, the weapons were provided from there. Larry McDonald is as far right as you can get in Congress, and he went down to Miami to the funeral to laud Somoza. Of course, the Nicaraguans are furious at Jimmy Carter, and when they begin carrying signs, death to Carter, you realize that this is a well-trained team of people that when blink twice to shoot, particularly as these terrorists from the right are well-armed, they're protected by the press, they're protected by the Justice Department, they can blow up Letelier in Washington and get out, and the other trial will be bungled. They can kill an attaché from the United Nations, and they've had bombings all over the country and murders all over the country. And when a president is killed and a senator running for president is killed and civil rights leaders are killed and witnesses to the trials are killed, then it's easy to take a pot shot at Jimmy Carter. And if this group gets mad enough, they may just do that. Speaking of assassinations, it shouldn't bother me, but it really irks me to see Ronald Reagan with William Simon and his gang at the home in Virginia that was built for John Kennedy. Kennedy didn't like the home, but there's a lot of photographs of them sitting in the patio these days just laughing it up. William Simon was the gentleman from the cabinet of Ford and Nixon who believed that the multinational Arabs and other countries would not have to reveal how much of the United States they own in terms of business, farmlands, banks, investments, that they should be allowed to keep that secret. Ronald Reagan and his family and gang are assembled conspicuously in the home that belonged to John Kennedy. And then this last week, Richard Nixon was with Rebozo up at Agartown on Mr. Albanap's yacht at Martha Vineyard, looking around for property close to Jackie Onassis, where Ronald Reagan can have a summer home. It does rile me to see them rubbing it in, because that was the scene of Chappaquiddick that knocked Ted Kennedy out of the election in 1972 with the death of Mary Jo Kopechne and Nixon's White House plumbers up there at the time and never questioned afterwards. There are two stories that I cannot possibly do in the next 2 minutes. I'll mention them and go into them hopefully next week in detail. One is the story, Japanese recover the Tsarist treasure. Those of you that have followed my tapes and radio programs know that I've talked about the sinking of the Awamaru, the Tsarist treasures that were taken by Japan and the United States after World War II down to Hong Kong and sunk so that they could be brought up for the billions of dollars of wealth later. And I believe that the Glomar Explorer, again, the CIA ship built by our tax money under the Hughes Organization, will be used to bring that ship up. Well, this week was the first article I've seen admitting that the Tsarist treasure, one of them, is sunk outside of Tokyo, and they're bringing up $200,000 block of solid platinum. There's all kinds of precious metals. A Russian ship was sunk by the Japanese in the war 1904-1905. It is filled with Tsarist treasures, gold, and money, and the Japanese are going to bring that ship up. The important thing is the admission of the Tsarist treasures that were taken out of Russia at the time. The other subject I do want to bring up next week is the death of Art Linkletter's son. He was killed in an automobile accident, and I have hinted many times or suggested through a letter that I have that went to a judge at the time of the trial of John Frazier for the killing of the Oda family in California, that Robert Linkletter was the Zodiac. Now that he's dead, I feel it's safe that I can mention that I did call David Tosh, the chief of police in San Francisco in 1976, and talk to him about this. He said they would never bring him in, that they had this information, that they didn't clear it, they had no interest in pursuing it. And it's a subject that has to do with a massive tanglement of California violences. And Mr. Tosche was later removed from the police department for forging letters of the Zodiac killer in San Francisco. Now, I'm not saying this is true or not true. It'll be interesting to see if the zodiac letters or that person ever surfaces again. But next week I'll read to you a letter that was sent to the judge about a group of the white organization. It's like the Hooded Ones, the Cagoulards in France. It has to do with an organization of killers called the International White Guard. And this letter to the judge at the time of a trial did mention Robert Linkletter. He was killed this last week in an automobile accident. No charges have been filed against the head-on collision. We'll bring that up next week because there isn't time for the details, and it has to do with Reagan and California violences. In the meantime, take care of yourselves and keep flipping those papers. If you write to me at Box 22511, Carmel 93923, I can send a printed bibliography of sources of information for this tape. Don't send it to the station. I can only get here once a week. You can send it to the P.O. Box in Carmel. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. I'll be back with you next week and go into more detail on those last two items that I just mentioned.
Thank you, Mae. Takes us to 11 o'clock. This is KLRB Carmel, Monterey. Good evening.